رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. We will look at Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayahs 1 to 3. Surah Al-Hujurat is a Madani surah, and it was revealed at the time of 9th Hijri, or the 9th year after migration of the Prophet ﷺ from Makkah to Medina. It was a year called Aam al-Wufud, the year of delegations. In that year, the Prophet ﷺ was receiving delegations after delegations. These were people and tribes who wanted to accept Islam or came to gain information of this new rising religion and power. A new society had been established, so at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down commands relevant to a society. These commands tell us how to live in a society, and the manners and etiquettes are being taught. Allah has taught us how to conduct dealings with each other and learn about respect of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn how one has to live in a society at large. We see knowledge and etiquettes are two separate things. Knowledge is gained later. First, he learns manners and etiquettes, as manners are very important. For example, manners and etiquettes are food, and knowledge is the salt. If a person has not learned manners and etiquettes, then no matter how much knowledge he gains, and no matter how many times he completes the Quran, it will not benefit. Abdul Rahman bin Qasim, who was a student of Imam Malik, said, I learned from Imam Malik for 20 years. And in those 20 years, for the first 18 years, I learned manners. And the 2 years, I gained knowledge. And it would have been better if I had learned manners in those 2 years as well. Learning manners was greatly emphasized. Manners, character, etiquette, our deen teaches us these. Imam Ahmad said that I prefer to live with a sinner with good manners, more so than an ill-mannered person who is considered pious. These are from the last surahs. Surahs including this surah until Surah Naziat are called Tawalun Mufassilat. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would recite these surahs in Fajr Salah. So this is the end group of surahs of the Quran. So we will see the repeated use of Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. Believers are addressed. There are only 18 ayahs in this surah, yet 5 ayahs begin with Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. So we can see the important commands that have been given to the believers. Previous Surah Al-Fath ends with Allah promised the believers and those who do righteous deeds of what? Forgiveness and Ajran Azeem, great reward. This surah begins with Ya Ayyuhalladhina Amanu. So those surahs that began with this address were revealed in the end of the Madani period of life of the Prophet ﷺ. So here, when forgiveness and great reward is promised, we see the same matter mentioned in Ayah 3, where it mentions لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. What we understand from this is that if we really want forgiveness of Allah and the great reward, we have to qualify for it and be a mu'min. So what is mentioned in Ayah 1-3 are its requirements to be considered one with Iman. So fulfill these requirements, then you will qualify as a believer, as a mu'min. We have to do these things if we truly are believers, then we will get forgiveness and the great reward. Secondly, the surah mentions taqwa or piety 5 times. And we are saying that this surah teaches etiquettes and manners, social manners. What do these etiquettes and manners have to do with taqwa or piety? Taqwa is mentioned so many times, But why? Because piety has a direct connection with our behaviors and manners. We may think that taqwa or piety only means praying, fasting, how much Quran we read, how much tahajjud one prays, that this is taqwa. But how are our relations with those around us, with our husband, with our kids, with our relations, with our neighbors, with our in-laws, with our colleagues, and others who live around us? What relation does this have with deen? We think that there is no relation, and that only salah and fasting are its requirements, and do it with great passion. We pray extra nawafil, but our personality is such that others are afraid to speak with us. Then we learn what is the condition of our iman and piety from this surah. This surah teaches us to look within ourselves, because our conduct and relations among each other are mentioned. In the first ayah, we learn what our relation should be with our deen, what our attitude should be with Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was to be the behavior of others with him, and how it should be after he passed away, and how to deal with news we hear about, and how to transfer it, and how Muslims should interact with other Muslims, and how Muslims should interact with other Muslims when our Muslim brothers and sisters are not physically present with us. What is their right upon us? We learn how to live collectively in this life. We learn these matters in great detail, and the manners that even schools or colleges do not teach today. The name of this surah is Surah Hujarat, from its mention in Ayah 4. Hujarat means a small house or apartment with an entryway and a covered space. In other words, living quarters, not a large villa. So we begin with the surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed. Here believers are being called out. If we consider ourselves believers, then hear it well. What is being said? We learn, whenever Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu is said, Ibn Mas'ud says, listen very attentively, because now Allah will either command a matter in which is good for you, or will be stopped from something which is bad for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tuqaddimu. O believers, do not advance ahead. What is la tuqaddimu? To advance ahead. This is a command. We are commanded not to do something. Do not exceed. It says, بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Do not advance ahead of Allah and His Messenger. In what? It does not specify or mention where not to advance ahead of Allah and His Messenger. This is left open-ended. But why? It does not say in which matter not to advance ahead. In steps? Quran is quiet in this. This is because Quran is for all times and for all communities and situations. For 21st century and people before 1400 years ago, the same commands apply. Here Quran wants us to add our own context, whatever issue that we come across. Here we place it here. For example, advance ahead in what? Some scholars say, in any action, or saying, do not advance ahead of Allah and His Messenger. In any matter, cannot exceed ahead of Allah and His Messenger, when the commands of Allah and His Messenger are something, and we begin to do something else. This is going ahead of them. We put ourselves ahead of them. Their decree is something else about us, and we have decided something else. In matters of that time and even today, cannot put ahead our opinions or want. For example, if we say, today I just feel like sleeping, I don't want to get up for Fajr. When we hear, Hayya la salah, Hayya la salah, Allah calls us to salah, and we are saying we want to sleep. Then we put ahead our wants and desire. So do not put ahead your desire or wishes. Wishes and desires of man are endless. Desires take man so far away by taking him into haram and unlawful manners, towards injustice and oppression of others. While our wishes and desires should not be ahead, only the commands of Allah should come first, if it is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But instead, we put sayings of our Imam ahead of him, saying our Imam says this. No, la tuqaddimu. Understand, we cannot advance ahead. We cannot put forth decisions of anyone before the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes we advance ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by following our heart or by following someone else. If we say, my opinion is this, if that is in conflict with what Allah and His Prophet had said, then who did we advance ahead of? Our own intellect, our own knowledge, that we know better than Allah and His Messenger. What are other ways we do this? When we worry about what people and others say, we cannot choose what people want or say ahead of what Allah and His Prophet has said. Other ways are giving preference to trends, what is in fashion, what is the current mindset, or what science says. Relying only on scientific facts, what we can see or hear or touch and know with our faculties. And then we say we don't believe it if it is not proven. Are we choosing science over Allah and His Prophet? Also customs and traditions of our culture. If it is in conflict of what Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us, people choose to follow customs and traditions and disregard Allah and His Messenger. La tuqaddimu. Also, a person's own constraints put themselves ahead, or by saying, this is what my family believes in, or one's clan, this is what they believe in. Whatever actions we do, they should be behind Allah and His Messenger, not ahead of them. La tuqaddimu. Do not advance forward. We have to follow what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to do. What do we ask for in our salahs every day? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Who are the people way ahead in this path of sirat al-mustaqim? The anbiya or the prophets, salihin, shuhada. We are the followers of them, so we should remain behind them. If we start to advance ahead of them, we will only get misguided and get lost. And if we want to be upon Sirat al-Mustaqim, then we must remain behind them. We cannot go into what they prohibited us from. Do we say the commands that were given to us 1400 years ago? How would they have known what conditions we would face today? We know better. If we do this, we will get misguided. Our own choice can never be better than what Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us, or what they have chosen for us. What they have chosen for us is better than what we can choose for ourselves. We think what we want is better, and think their commands were for people in those times and not for us, while what they chose for us is better than what we can choose for ourselves. It's the mission. When we say we accept Islam as our religion, that means we submit to Allah and His Messenger. Then we have to follow behind them. Whenever we have to do anything, we should ask ourselves, what is the command of Allah about it? What is the saying of the Prophet about it? It can be decisions about any matter. For example, decisions regarding careers, marriage, business transactions, times of happiness, sadness, or anything else. Before doing anything, look at their commands first. Even in worship, we cannot go ahead of them. Three companions came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and found Aisha radiallahu anha, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not there. They asked, "Tell us about the worship of our Prophet." Then Aisha radiallahu anha told them about it. They thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet of Allah, so what he did was sufficient for him, and thought because they were ordinary people, they should do more. One from them said, "I will never marry." The other said, "I will never sleep at night and will spend my nights in worship." The third said, "I will continuously fast and never stop fasting." When the Prophet ﷺ returned, Aisha radiallahu anha told him about the three men and what they had said. The Prophet ﷺ didn't like what they had said. He said, "I marry, I sleep at night, and I wake up at night for worship. I fast and I don't fast." We cannot advance ahead of the Prophet ﷺ, even in worship or in the commands of deen, saying that Prophet ﷺ did this, but I will do more. As astaghfirullah, he didn't know better, and we know. La tuqaddimu. We can apply this everywhere. This is why it is open-ended. Whatever we want to look at, traditions, cultures, our appearances, our obligations, our worships, matters of deen, wherever we want direction, we get guidance from Allah and His Prophet. We get guidance from the Quran and the Ahadith. First and foremost, we should look at Quran and Ahadith. We should seek guidance from them. We are not free to do whatever we want or wish. We are only free in certain matters, such as what I want to eat or drink, within what is halal and permissible. We cannot go out of the ordained boundaries. If we know that the Prophet ﷺ has said about a matter, but we do what we please instead, then we have disobeyed the commands of Allah in this ayah. In this ayah it says, بَيْنَ يَدِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Here the Prophet ﷺ is also mentioned. While there are some who say they do not believe in the ahadith, Prophet ﷺ has said that a person cannot be with iman or faith unless he comes under obedience to what I was sent with. So I have to come under the commands, not being ahead of them. We cannot say this is our culture and this is how it is done in our home. It doesn't matter if what Allah and His Messenger have something else, cannot advance beyond that. This ayah has a very broad application. If we learn that something is mentioned in the Quran or in the Hadith, whilst we do not have that much knowledge to verify, even if there is even 1% chance what they say is correct, then we should remain quiet. We cannot say that I never heard about this, or we did it like this, or we don't know this, or that I don't know where they brought it from. Rather, we should stay quiet, and we cannot say those things. And where matters of the Quran and the Hadith are concerned, we need to keep our opinions on the side. We cannot consider the matters of Quran and Sunnah secondary. Even in disputes, we should refer to the Quran and Hadith. Just because we consider ourselves educated, we start to consider our own knowledge above the Quran and Sunnah. We are stopped from this, and here the commands of Allah and the commands given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are given equal weight. We also see in La Tuqaddimu a literal meaning. When the Prophet ﷺ was walking, the companions were told not to walk ahead of him as a sign of respect and to walk behind him. Similarly, if we are with our elders, we should walk behind them, not ahead of them. This is the second meaning. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ and fear Allah. Whoever has piety and fears Allah will not advance ahead of them. Because only the fear of Allah can make man do it. Otherwise, a person gets coerced by his own wishes and desires. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. No matter what people say, for example, disliking the decree of Allah, or disliking the commands of Allah, or question a matter decreed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever anyone says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. Whether if anyone says it in a gathering, Allah hears it. Or if only two are conversing, Allah hears it. Then there are certain conversations that do not have a voice. A person talks to himself in their heart. They may not dare to speak about it, but has a negative feeling about it. These are inner conversations. Allah is Alim, and He knows what the person is saying in their heart. He hears what anyone utters from their mouth, but is also well aware of the thoughts that arise in the mind. Today, opinions of philosophers, scientists, are highly regarded and preferred over what Allah and His Messenger say. And many people show displeasure to matters which are not part of trend today. For example, owning of slave girls at that time, or the allowance of four wives, or many other matters, having ill feelings and thoughts about matters of that time of the Prophet ﷺ that were allowed by Allah, then this only earns the anger of Allah and deeds get wasted. So do not advance ahead and consider one's own intelligence and thinking better. We need to only realize about one's own limited intellect and think about the greatness of Allah. Then we will only submit humbly to Allah. These negative thoughts arise because of our inner arrogance or trust people more. We have to put opinions and everyone else on the side, and not to advance ahead of what Allah and His Prophet say about a matter. We cannot hold the decrees of Allah and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam equal to what we think. We must assess ourselves to make sure we put Allah and His Prophet ahead of ourselves and our thinking. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, swearing, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, by your Lord they cannot believe, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, until they make you a judge between what disputes arise between them. If there is a dispute about a matter between people, who will decide between them? The Prophet of Allah. We will learn from the Ahadith what it is. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا, then they do not find in themselves any discomfort out of it. مِمَّا قَدَيْتَ, about what you have decided. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit in full submission. Many times, even if we obey, we have hard feelings in the heart. Just as when we tell our child to bring water, and he goes off making faces and complaining and brings the water. How would we feel? Would we feel happy about the good that the child did by bringing water this way? Was it good for the child? No, whatever he did was wasted. This resentment in the heart that a person doesn't even speak about to others, Allah knows about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He knows what is in the heart. So we shouldn't feel any resentment in the heart, but should submit. Then they are considered believers. This is the criteria. Do we feel resentment in our heart when we cover up and think how others will perceive us as backwards? Or how these ill feelings arise in our heart? These resentments, even if no one sees it, Allah takes note of it. Glad tidings of forgiveness and great reward are not without striving, unless we believe truly and do righteous deeds. These are the standards.